Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. I'm feeling very quiet. When I come in feeling very quiet, I always wonder how the talking is going to begin. and yet it does, So it's really good to see you all here. I see a few new names in the room. I don't know if they're new to me, or if they're new to the room, or if they're just new names on old friends. But I do see a few people I don't know here, so it's nice to see you all, as well as all the people that I'm used to seeing every Sunday morning. It's good to see you too. If you are new here, what we're about to do is say hello, greet one another on the board. Please just take a moment to introduce yourself in some way. If you feel that maybe one or two people here know you, but not everyone does, you know, maybe just tell us your name, let us know where you're from, and, you know, is this their first time in the room, second, third, just the first time here at the, in the sanctuary for the weekly gathering, anything at all that you might think is nice to share with the rest of us. And then all of you old-timers, since there may be some people in the room this morning that are new, make sure you share a little bit about you, too. How's that sound? So, everyone, it is time for our traditional greeting of one another. I will play We Are Awakening by Deva Premel and Mitten while you all enjoy saying hi on the board.
Call of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Let the song just keep right on going, but we'll move on with our traditional format. So what is up next in our traditional format is our statement of purpose. Awakening Together is an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. We have five common core values that all of the members share and accept as our values. And today I'd like to highlight core value number four. We affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. And the part of that core value that I want to emphasize today is embracing what is helpful. And I think you'll see why when we get into the reading and we get into the talk after the reading. Before we move on to that, I do have some announcements to make. And Lynn, I'm assuming that all of my announcements are up to date. But again, things change so quickly around here, and you and I haven't talked since Tuesday. If anything I'm about to say is incorrect, please feel free to correct me on the board, because we want to share the correct information here. How's that? So the first thing that I am sharing, okay, yeah. So the first thing that I wanted to share today is that we have a new Course of Love group starting this week, I believe, on January 20th. That is Wednesday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And this group is going to be facilitated by Carrie Christensen. As you all know, we recently did a survey. We had a forum here in the room where you all shared directly, and then we took that information and turned it into a survey. And one of the groups that we found you were most interested in was a Course of Love. And so that group is going to start this week, January 20th, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, facilitated by Carrie Christensen. So if you are interested in a Course of Love scribed by Mari Perrone, please come this week. And start at the beginning. And if you can't come this week for some reason, but you are interested, know that all of these groups that we have in the sanctuary are open. Come when you can, and when you can't come, that's fine too. But it's Wednesday. This Wednesday, January 20th, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time is the start of the Course of Love group. Also, I just want to share a couple things with you that actually started next week. They started last week, but you may have missed the starts. I just want to let you know that they're there in case you're interested. One is on Monday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Lynn Castaldo has started sharing from The Untethered Soul, Digging Deeper with The Untethered Soul. And I heard her last Sunday evening provide an invitation that if anybody else wants to come and share, that she's willing to share the microphone as well. So if you're interested in The Untethered Soul, I went last week and I just chose to listen. I didn't feel to share. I just felt to listen. But I'll tell you, it seems like every time I read or listen to The Untethered Soul, it is helpful. I perceive The Untethered Soul to be an incredible, incredible book. So I really love listening. So if you just want to go and listen for that refresher, or if you want to go and join with Lynn and share how The Untethered Soul is affecting your life, please do. Again, that's Monday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Another thing I want to share with you is Vicky Poppy started a Joel Goldsmith study group last Tuesday. I believe it's only half an hour, 8:30 to 9 a.m. on Tuesdays. It follows our 8 a.m. meditation. Oops, I'm getting pop-ups. Can you guys still hear me? Probably not. Probably not. One moment. Am I back? Okay, good. Yeah, I got a message that somehow I had lost contact with Paltalk, so I left and came back. But I was saying that Vicky Poppy has started a Joel Goldsmith study group on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. So that's immediately following our 8 a.m. meditation. I think I have that time right again. 8:30 to 9, I think it's only half an hour. Everybody's asking about recordings, and I'll tell you what, this is one thing that I think there are recordings for the Joel Goldsmith group, yes. But this is one thing that I still want to improve upon, is sharing those recordings with you. And one of the ways I want to improve upon that is by changing our website at least a little bit. You know, like on my website, the Regina Dawn Akers website, and many other websites, you know right where to go for recordings because it says audios. And you go to that audios menu and all of your recordings are right there. And when we set up our website initially about 3 years ago, we didn't set it up that way. So it may be a little bit hard for you guys to find the recordings. Now, I'll tell you where they're at. They're under the interact menu, and the way you can remember that is all these study groups are interactions between people, right? So they're under the interact menu, sanctuary groups, and then on the side you'll find the audios for the Joel Goldsmith group, the Course in Miracles group, the Sufi group, and the 12 Steps discussion group, all right there. But I am hoping to maybe improve our website so it's a little more intuitive for you. Also, all of these audios come out on the daily update, the day after the particular group happened. So if you open up those daily updates every day, you'll be able to find the recordings to anything that you want to listen to. So yes, they are recorded. Yes, they are posted on our website. And yes, we hope to make those easier to find in the future. But of course, that's a little bit of work, so give us a bit of time. But again, that was Vicki Poppy with the Joel Goldsmith Study Group, Tuesdays at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, right after the 8 a.m. meditation. So I'm going to, you know what? I think there were some things that were typed in the room that I was going to read and comment on, but then I got booted out of the room, and so now I didn't get the chance to read them. So if anybody typed a question while I was making these announcements that you want me to address, please retype it, because when I got kicked out of the room, what you guys were typing got deleted. And there were a couple things there I felt needed maybe my attention and my answer, but I didn't get to them before I was kicked out. And yeah, Lynn is saying if you are not updated for if you're not signed up for the daily updates, you can sign up for those. You just go to our website underneath Join Us. You'll find where you can subscribe to the daily updates. Also, I know that you all are aware that our winter retreat with Brent Haskell is coming up February 26th to 28th in Canyon City. I just want to let you know that there are 8 slots left. So I'll keep you kind of updated on that, because I know some people are still thinking, should I come or should I not come? And once those 8 slots are gone, we can't allow anyone else to come because of the size of the room that we're meeting in. You know, only so many people can come into the room and be comfortably seated. So I'll keep you apprised of how many, but right now we have 8 slots left for our winter retreat in Canyon City. Jacqueline is mentioning the movie group. Yeah, I was going to announce that during the week and next week because, you know, I like to keep the announcements fairly limited so that we don't sit here talking for half an hour. There's so much going on. But I will go ahead and mention it quickly since she's asked me to. Next week, that's okay. That's okay. We have so much going on, we can't actually announce it all on Sunday mornings, or we'll be sitting here for half an hour talking. That's another reason to watch your daily updates, because that's where we do announce everything. But next Sunday night, the movie group is going to start here, and that will be at 8 p.m. Eastern time. What I really want to talk about now is what's happening tonight, this Sunday night, at 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's our monthly satsang. And our satsang tonight is with Timothy Conway. Some of you all know Timothy Conway. He's been here with us twice before for satsang. Plus, he was one of our speakers at the very first Awakening Together retreat in Santa Barbara. Barb says he's lovely. He is lovely. He's just very, very, very sweet and very generous. He will be here tonight from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. So please come tonight for satsang with Timothy Conway. Also, Timothy wrote to me this week and said he is very happy to answer any questions that the group puts towards him. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, well, it sounds like he really wants to interact with everyone. So think about the questions you might want to ask Timothy tonight. You can ask questions two ways. You can type them on the board and I'll hopefully we'll see them and ask him. You can also put up your hand and I'll give you the mic. Or if you prefer, or if you happen to be listening to the broadcast and you won't be in the sanctuary directly, you can send me your questions today in email. If you have questions for Timothy, anything at all, Timothy, trust me, anything at all, please send it to reginadonakers@yahoo.com today. Send it before, let's say before 7:30, is that right? No, before 6:30 Eastern, because just before Timothy, I'll be teaching the seven steps, so I won't be checking email in that last little bit of time. So before 4:30 Eastern time today, if you have questions for Timothy that you would like me to ask, please go ahead and send me those questions. Oh, yeah, I see one of the questions I missed on the board is the guiding light and the course of love, are they the same? They are not, and they are not at the same time. The Course of Love is on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and the Guiding Light is on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So same day, different times. And in fact, there's so much happening on Wednesday nowadays that I believe Lynn Johnson has nicknamed it Wake Up Wednesday or something like that, because we have so much going on Wednesdays. Please, everyone, if you haven't checked the sanctuary schedule lately, check it. It is changing all of the time. I'm not certain it's completely up to date. I looked at it today. There might be a couple things on there that aren't completely up to date, but most of what's on there is up to date, and it's changing rapidly now as a result of our sanctuary remodel. So check it out. There are more things coming than I can mention today. More things coming than I can mention today. I pick a little each week for the announcements, okay? All right. So with the announcements said, let's move on to our opening song. I chose a favorite of mine today, an oldie but a goodie, as they say. You all are probably familiar with this song. It's called The Fool on the Hill by the Beatles.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down. And the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well, on the way, head in a cloud, a man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud. But nobody ever hears him for the sound he appears to make. He never seems to notice, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
I love that song. One of my very favorites. Why don't we go into prayer? I will begin with some silence until the prayer begins. The fool on the hill is the empty shell, the one who no longer believes in this world, no longer believes in the personal self, no longer listens to the ego thought system as if it has something meaningful to say. It's the one that we would call enlightened or awake. And most of us are here because we know, at least intuitively, that there's something very, very true in that fool, in that emptiness. Something that is present and yet lost when we're caught up in the world, when we believe we are this person, when we listen with all of our attention to the rambling of the ego thought system. Although it all seems so serious and important, somehow we know it's a mistake and it's completely unreal. And we are here because we seek or because we are being called to, both of which are probably the same. But because we seek or because we are being called to drop everything that is not true and rest within the silence of truth. And so today, whatever is going to be said today, and there is no one present who knows what will be said, including the speaker herself, but whatever is going to be said today, let it be that which is truly most helpful to us, and let us listen with that genuine respect. Remembering that the reason we are a part of awakening together is because we want the truth. And knowing that what will be shared today is being shared in order to help us in that purpose. Let us embrace it. Amen. And with that said, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Sonia Spahn, who is going to read, Recognition of Truth is Not the End of Ego, by Muji.
Good morning. Can anyone hear me? Oh, good. Wonderful. Well, Regina, when she asked for me to be the reader, I was a very good student. And when you hear the reading for this morning from Muji about Nisargadatta, you'll understand that I immediately went into many contemplations. And as of last night, I had no story to bring to you. And I considered myself not a very good student if I did not have a story to tell. But it turns out I do have a story. In fact, I have several of them, but you're going to listen to Muji and not my stories. The most wonderful symbols started coming forth not in words or stories, but just beauty. And the most wonderful of them was a quote by an enlightened master that said, "Fall in love with the inner I am." And now you'll see why that's important. Recognition of the truth is not the end of ego by Muji. When Nisargadatta Maharaj said it took him 3 years to realize the self, what happened? What does it mean? The realization first comes, and this is so fast a seeing, a shift in perspective. It is seen that what is here is not the one that has a history, a birth certificate, and star sign, and family, and all of this stuff. It is beyond this, more like space. Then what took 3 years? What took 3 years is that gradually the beingness, the mind, had to realize and assimilate completely into this, so that it is not merely held as some theoretical understanding. His entire being was immersed in that understanding to the effect that the outer life and inner life are one. Just like if the fruit are good, the taste will be good. So in that scene, what happened is it took on a certain type of maturity. This will take its own time. In each one, it will vary. Nisargadatta Maharaj, what he say is, "My Guruji told me, I am not what I have been conditioned to believe I am. I am the infinite within which even this play is occurring. And I believed him." There is tremendous power in that belief, but by itself it was not enough. Something else had to follow this belief. He himself said, "I spent many days, as often as it could occur to me, contemplating this feeling of I am." Constantly, the feeling of I am was allowed to marinate in itself. He was still doing what he had to do, taking care of children, open your shop, do your business. But every moment that he could, as it flashed in his mind, that feeling of I am, he was contemplating it. He was preventing this I am-ness feeling from associating with any other feeling. And gradually, it came to the point where it was shining by itself. Uninterrupted, without any association, without any content. And then he said, "Then I realized the self. This is it." The first stage is that blast of recognition where it is seen beyond doubt. This is so important because once this has taken place and occurred to itself, that I am that, then the doubt is removed. At least you have experienced the potential. You know it is not merely theory. Theory cannot give you this taste, so you know this. Thereafter, mind sometimes comes back very strongly. It's like it's fighting for dominance, in fact. But gradually now, with the force of the conviction, with the force of that liberating experience, a sort of inner confidence surfaces. It allows you to complete your sadhana, or practice, completely comb out all this noise that you've picked up by associating with what is transient. That will take its own time. But the major work, that flash to come to that place beyond doubt, that occurrence, must happen within. Otherwise, it merely remains as a kind of theory. And the intellect can imitate that seeing. It can tell itself, "It's enough. I understand this." It can talk about it. It can write a book about it. It can be a bestseller even. but you may not have realized this thing. So to realize it for a moment or two, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, is not enough. Something contemplates it because the mind pushes up again. Me pushes up again. Because the force of habit will keep trying to remind the beingness that you are a person. And because so many times you've believed it in the past, you will believe it again. So each time it comes, something looks and dismisses or transcends this suggestion until gradually there's not energy left in the egoic mind. It loses all its influence. And then there's no more unsteadiness for you. It's like you've fallen through a hole and you're all safe again. The end. Thank you and blessings to you all.
Thank you, Sonia. I noticed, first of all, someone asked, is there a book or other reference for this reading this morning by Muji? The answer to that is no. I actually transcribed this from a video. The video, I believe, was called Recognition of the Truth is Not the End of Ego. So that's probably how you could find the video on YouTube. But I can also post this reading along with today's audio for anyone that wants to read it. But yeah, someone else just typed beautiful truth, and that, of course, is why it jumped out at me. I had that same thought, beautiful truth, and it jumped out to me as the reading. And when I read this, there are a number of remembrances that run through my mind, all of which feel like we have said them so many times. I'll run over them quickly, but I don't think that's the teaching today, although I don't know what the teaching is. But a number of remembrances have run through my mind. One, of course, being that it is very important for us not to be too quick to claim awakening. That is such a popular thing nowadays, to claim awakening. And often, fairly regularly, and for years now, people have asked me why I do not say that I am awake. And, you know, comparatively, like if I was to compare to 2004 when I began this process, you could say that I am very awake, comparatively, but yet not awake. And the reason is because I consider awake the end of ego, the complete end of ego. And that is what Muji is saying here. Muji is also very, very aware of this desire that we seem to have in today's world to claim awakeness, and then therefore to look away from the very sincere practice that needs to continue to happen so that the ego can be put to a final end. And he's really, in a very gentle way, by talking about the Nisargadatta story, kind of encouraging us not to rush to claim awakening. So that's why I don't say I'm awake. I want the final end of ego. And I want to remain focused as the student. I practice as the student daily. And I want to remain very, very humble in that practice as the student. And it doesn't seem that claiming awakening helps with that. It seems that claiming awakening somehow gets in the way of that. So I don't. But some of the other remembrances that ran through my mind while Muji was sharing and while Sonia was reading it is how important it is to take what I call special time every day to be alone with God. And of course, those are just words. But what I mean by that is I take special time every day for contemplation and or meditation. There are some days when it seems to be just contemplation, and there are some days when it seems to be just meditation. But I really love the days when there's time for me to do both contemplation and meditation. For me, that seems to take at least 2 hours, closer to three, to be honest. And so right now, not all of my days actually allow 2 or 3 hours of complete alone time without any other activity. So I don't always have time to do both, although that is my preference. But I always take time to do one or the other. In other words, I would say an absolute minimum of 30 minutes. An absolute minimum of 30 minutes of either the meditation or the contemplation, whichever I feel called to. It's been some time now since I've gone day after day after day without doing that. I'm in a pretty good habit of practice, if you'll pardon the word habit there, but a pretty good habit of practice. But certainly on my spiritual path, there have been times, especially since I've lived in Pueblo. It seems since I've been in Pueblo, I've been busier. First, there was 2 years of guests. Then I did take an entire year off for silence, but then there was starting Awakening Together. And so it seems like between the guests in the first phase and Awakening Together in the second phase, I'm much busier than I was when I was in North Carolina. And so during a lot of this time when I was busier, I would go through phases of, again, please pardon the words because I don't really mean judgment, but, you know, it's hard to talk without words. So there would be phases of time when I was very good at a daily habit of primarily contemplation up until May. I only started meditating in May. But I was really good at a daily habit of contemplation for a period of time. And then it would seem like there were a lot of guests, one after another, or there was too much work related to Awakening Together. And I would get in the habit of getting up and going, you know, directly to something other than that alone time with God. And I went back and forth with this for a number of years. And, you know, the Course in Miracles says that the Holy Spirit teaches through contrast. So I learned from going back and forth for a number of years. And what I learned is that it is much easier to remain that humble student, to remain watching myself, watching my mind, to let go of ego instead of speaking from it or acting from it, or if I do speak from it or act from it, to quickly correct and let it go, to focus on the I Am presence instead of being lost in mind, you know, while doing things like laundry, showering, dishes, walking. It's much, much easier to stay that student throughout the day if I have that alone time first. And if I think I'm too busy for that alone time, there seems to be a slipping that happens all day long, a much more consistent slipping. I suppose there's always some slips, but a very consistent slip after slip after slip. So it does seem to me that it's very important to get into the habit of taking some alone time, whatever alone time feels right. And here in the sanctuary now, we're offering meditations 6 days a week at 8 a.m. Eastern Time and 6 days a week at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And for some people, this might be an excellent way to get in the habit. You might come into the meditation, join with us in the meditation, and then continue in whatever way you feel to continue after the meditation so that you get a little bit of alone time with God. We also have these groups that are starting up, and I don't know how each of the groups are operating. Each group has a has a different facilitator, but I do know that the Sufi group provides a handout that you can contemplate. And I know that I've been contemplating the handout, and I'm getting wonderful time alone with God, beautiful, beautiful, deep, clearing, seeing time with God through contemplating that handout. And maybe some of the other groups, if you choose to join a different group, maybe they're also in some way offering the same opportunity. But if you aren't in the habit of taking that alone time with God every day, finding a way to get in that habit is really, really helpful. But another thing that crossed my mind as I was reading this message from Muji or listening to Sonia read it was, in addition to that personal time with God in the morning. And by the way, I'm quickly reminded of Jesus saying, give us this day our daily bread. And that's what I find comes out of my personal time every morning is my daily bread for the day. And then, in addition to that personal time every morning, throughout the day, there needs to be some kind of a remembrance that we carry in our heart and mind throughout the day. Whether that remembrance is focusing on the I Am presence or the type of mindfulness that Thich Nhat Hanh would teach. What I tend to do is I tend to take my daily bread with me throughout the day. So whatever it was that really came to me as my insight that morning, I continually return myself to that. I contemplate that. There's always some type of practice for me that also comes along with the daily bread. So I use that practice. I contemplate those thoughts. I stay with it throughout the day. Because to spend 30 minutes to 3 hours, depending on our schedule, to spend 30 minutes to 3 hours alone with God in the morning and then to return to our ego conditioning for the rest of the day, again, pardon the words, just isn't good enough, right? And so we each need to find a way of carrying it with us throughout the day. You know, being the student needs to be our primary role. It is just a role. It's not our truth. Just like our job, you know, I'm the president, minister of Awakening Together. That's my job. That's not my truth. I have the role of being a mother, but that's not my truth. I have the role of being a homeowner. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but those things aren't my truth. Those are roles. Student is also not our truth. And maybe that's why some people abandon the idea student so quickly. Well, I'm sure it's ego that's twisting it in this way. But the idea is, I can't be the student and be who I am, be the truth. And so I need to let go of the idea that I'm the student. I need to let go of the spiritual practice. I need to just abide as my truth. But this is often happening, probably more often than not happening, prior to the end of ego. And so what's happening when we stop being the student because of some ego thought that I can't be the student and myself too, and say we're going to just abide as the student, I don't need the practice anymore, I don't need the meditation anymore, I don't need the contemplation anymore. What most likely happens for most of us is that we just slide back into our ego conditioning. We slide back into being extremely interested in my own point of view, in my own opinions, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sliding back into being upset too, Barb says, yes. So what I hear Muji saying, you know, I hear Muji being very, very aware of a popular culture today where being awake is cool. Being awake is very, very cool. But what I hear Muji saying is be the student. And pointing to a great master Nisargadatta and pointing out how Nisargadatta chose to be the student, even after an awakening experience where he knew beyond a doubt that he was the self, that he chose to be very focused as the student until the ego ended. And it wasn't until the ego ended completely that he said, "I am self-realized." I was listening to Timothy Conway this morning because tonight he will be our satsang guest. So I just wanted to listen to some of the things that he's been sharing lately. And I was listening to him talking about Ramana Maharshi. And of course, you know, this is something I also already knew, but it's just that it was brought back to my attention this morning, how Ramana Maharshi had this incredible awakening experience as a 16-year-old teenager. But what did he do for the next 17 years or so? You all know the answer. He was deeply, deeply, deeply dedicated as the student, as the sitting in silence, just watching, just being, probably not only until the end of ego, but even beyond. One thing that is really interesting is that there is this idea in the mind, so many of us, if not all of us, may experience it. And sometimes the way the teachings are worded, they encourage it. Even Nisargadatta, you know, when Nisargadatta talks about the earnestness that's needed, the discipline that is needed, you know, in order to awaken. I think an idea that is in the mind is that this is work. And then on top of that, we don't like work, most of us. And so the idea that, you know, taking this alone time with God every day is work might make me not want to do it. Especially if I still have a job I have to go to after that. Who wants to get up early to work and then go to work and then come home and do house cleaning, work some more? I mean, every now and then it seems like some of us just need a break from all this work. And so if we see spiritual practice as work, there's another part of our mind that's going to want to avoid it, going to want to take a break from it. Even if we do it in the evening, we're going to want to maybe take a break. Okay, I've been spiritual practicing all day. Now I just want to watch some TV or just read a good novel. So it might be helpful just to look and see. And even right now you might be saying, "Oh, I don't think it's work," but just be alert that that idea can be in the mind. So maybe if it pops up later, you'll go, "Oh, wait, there it is. It is there, this idea that it's work." And in fact, Sonia read a quote, which I thought was really funny. She read a quote before she went into the reading. That quote, I can't quote it exactly. I don't know if Sonia wants to type it in the room. But that quote captures the essence of where I have gotten in all of this. And that is that the only way to really remain the student without needing to take a break from the work is to fall absolutely in love with truth, with God, with the heart, with awareness, to fall absolutely head over heels in love. Because I can see how I need a break from work. But I've never, ever, ever known myself to need a break from love. Never. So, how does one fall in love? the first answer that comes to my mind is just watching or paying attention. One of the things I noticed in those years of contrast also, when I would have a period of time where I wasn't taking my alone time with God, and then I would have a period of time when I was taking my alone time with God, I noticed that the greatest joy of all, because it was so deeply in love, was that alone time. And I wondered why I ever thought that I didn't have time for it, or that I would ever resist it at all, because when I allow myself to take that time, when I allow myself to sit in that chair, when I go into that contemplation, when I go into that meditation without any thought of being anywhere else, I am so in love. And usually if I say this to a group of people, I can see their heads are all shaking up and down. Maybe yours are too, because they know it's true. So paying attention to that. Don't let the ego quickly cover that up. Notice how in love we are. Notice how good it feels to be in love. And then what seems to happen is that this natural desire arises to stay in love. So sure, I have to get up from the chair now. I have a class to teach, or I have some bills to pay, right? But take the love with me. Stay in love. It seems like staying in love is an extremely easy way to stay the student, and yet this is the miracle. The idea of student somehow disappears. I'm both being the student, and I'm not thinking of myself as the student, because I'm just in love. And again, maybe this is why I've been so attracted to the Sufi curriculum, because the Sufis fall in love. That's what they do. That's their path. And I can't find any work there. Although I'm doing all of the same things that may seem like work from another point of view, you know, taking special time, watching my mind, letting go of thoughts that I know aren't ego, or that letting go of thoughts that I know are ego. When I notice I've strayed into ego, bringing my attention back to awareness, all that stuff that can seem like work from one perspective, it's just what I want to do when I'm in love. Just like if you're in love with a young man or a young woman, you want to think about them. Nobody has to make you. You want to spend time with them. Nobody has to make you. You know, nobody would ever look at you if you were new and in love with someone and say, oh my God, you're so disciplined in how much time you spend with her and how much time you think about her. In fact, people don't even put the words in that way, discipline and love, together. Even though you may be constantly in thought about this one, it may be all you can talk about. No one would ever call you disciplined. No one would ever say you were working at it. It's just what's natural in love. So I think Muji is absolutely correct in that we don't want to claim awakening too quickly. In fact, I think the only thing that claims awakening too quickly is the unhealed I am bad thought. The unhealed I am bad thought also has this twisted idea that if I'm not awake, I'm bad, and if I'm awake, I'm good. And of course, it wants to be good, and so it pretends to be awake. It's just another form of denial. And so I think Muji is absolutely correct in pointing out that awakeness is something that happens really when the ego ends completely. And that until then, we need to practice and even get better at our practice, improved practice. But I think what the Sufis have that maybe we can all adopt, whether we choose to go into the Sufi contemplation group or not, is the falling in love. Because the falling in love makes the practice not practice. It's just what we do when we're in love. It's just what we do when we're in love. I'm going to play a song now while we contemplate this. It's funny because I didn't really know what I was going to say. And now I look at the song I picked and I think, how perfect. The song is called Breathe Love. Breathe Love by Susan Lincoln. And by the way, if you feel to donate to Awakening Together, this is one opportunity to do so. Now you can also go to the donate menu later and donate if right now you just want to close your eyes and breathe love.
Breathe.
Johnny, as I mentioned, I didn't know where the teaching was going to go, and I picked this song, Breathe Love. I'm looking at the next song I picked. It's called Love of God. So something new. Also, this morning I highlighted core value number 4, and I said that what I was emphasizing today was embracing what is helpful. And I said that would become clear during the talk. It wasn't clear to me yet, but as I contemplated that during the song, embracing is love, right? Instead of this idea of work, fall in love with what is helpful. Fall in love with what people call spiritual practice. Also, I noticed Karen typed in the room, I think the first commandment is that we love the I am above all else. And that's absolutely true, right? Jesus said that was the most important of all the commandments, to love thy God. I can't remember the exact quote, somebody else might. To love the Lord thy God, I believe, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart, right? Who else would like to share about what came to them today during the contemplation, during the reading, or during the talk? This is that time now when we have open sharing. So whoever would like to share, even if this is your first time at the weekly gathering, please put up your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. I'm not sure who R. Rates is. Or if I even said that correctly, but I notice ego work, attempting to master fear through effort, loving work, resolution is the mastery of love. Being in love all of the time. All right, Peggy, the mic is yours.
I would just like to share with everybody, hello. My practice has been for 20 plus years of waking up in the wee hours of the morning. Probably because I've always had such a chaotic, children-filled life. So that was the only time I could kind of carve out for myself, and I guess I got this training from actually beginning to go back to college with 4 kids. So that was the wee hours time was when everybody was asleep and there were no demands on me for my role as mother or wife or daughter-in-law or whatever. In studying the Kabbalah, it has the topic of study on page 193 of the Way. And one of the things that points out in there was that the prime time, the best time for studying, is between midnight and dawn. And that just went light splattered through my whole brain or waves and so forth. For me, even when I join in the sanctuary, in any way, even when I take a course, read a book, whether it is The Untethered Soul or whether it is Rumi or whether it is Jan Fraser or whether it is Regina's books, it doesn't matter what it is that I study. It is the time that I carve out of all of my beingness to walk with God, to be with God. Those times I light candles and I sit and I feel like I am walking in the garden with God. And since we all know that it's a modern psychotherapy concept that we become what we think about, that change occurs in your thinking so that when I go through my day then, whatever my day happens to have in it, it's like I'm prepared in this armor, so when something comes up, there's an automatic thought that I have already shared with God that presents itself to me and guides me. And those are the times for me, whether I am on vacation or even when I was on the retreat, even when I was on the retreat, I still followed my time slot that I am on. I still did that personal, because what you're going for, the goal is not so much intellectual acquisition, but an experience of connection. And it's, for me, it's spending time with the beloved. And it's like an old-timey spiritual song of walking in the garden that stated, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And that's the most loving time of my world, even though I have awesome times looking into the faces of children, or hearing Regina's voice, or a beloved voice, or Leon's tinkling laughter, or many things that inspire me throughout the day. All kinds of things, but leaves falling, anything. But that time is a personal, I guess you would call it intimate time of sharing. And that's all I've got to say.
Thank you, Peggy. And again, it's noticing that that's true for all of us. That's a part of how we fall in love, rather than perceiving this as work. We notice it is our greatest love. In the teachings of Inner Ramana, it talks about discipline. And again, for most people, discipline brings up ideas of work. And in fact, the teachings of Inner Ramana says something like, discipline being a dirty word for most people. It says, discipline is a dirty word to the mind. It screams of lack of freedom, control, and extends ideas of being forced to do things that you really do not want to do. And then it says, but I ask you to look at the idea of discipline again. And in that same message, it redefines discipline. Listen to this definition of discipline. Discipline is consistently applying your devotion. It is lovingly loving your love. It is giving yourself exactly what you want. And I love that definition. It is lovingly loving your love. So if we learn to see the word discipline as being synonymous with falling in love, we will no longer have a reaction to the word discipline either. So with that said, I think what I will do is play our closing song today. I want to thank you all for coming. Now, first I'm going to read what Hal wrote. At my current level, my most intimate time is when I allow spirit to talk through my fingers typing its words. I look forward to one day when it speaks through me and I, Hal, cease to exist. Yeah, and I also find writing to be a wonderful way of being with God. I write daily. Every now and then I post some of what I write, especially now that we're in the Sufi group. I told my friend Stacy Soli not too long ago that if I ever stopped writing, it might mean that I've stopped being with God. But that's not necessarily true. It could just change form. But that was really just an expression of what the writing is to me now, right? It is being with God. I'm always writing something, it seems like. All right, so I'm going to play our closing song. And the closing song is by Julie True, and it is called Love of God. Cry out all my doubts. Starting over with awakening. But that is the end for today. Next week, Jacqueline will be here with you. And then the week after that, King Gibson will be our minister. So I hope to see you all tonight for Timothy Conway, as well as maybe in the sanctuary with many of the other things that are happening all week long. And then next Sunday morning again with Jacqueline. Bye.